independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
If you take money from people and have no intention and no plan of ever giving it back to them, that is not debt. That is theft.
I love that. Mick Mulvaney right there, kind of the czar, if you will, of this whole budget thing. He's the guy that's got to go out there and sell it. If you take it without the intention of giving it back, that is not anything other than theft. If you're scoring at home today, the show's about words. Words. We talked about the ban, but it's not a ban. But that's the way they portray it. It's actually a moratorium, a pause, if you will, in the travel from one area of the world that is sympathetic to ISIS in six countries. Ban is not what it is. It's a pause. Theft. Being able to use words. That's what it's about in politics. You got to be able to use words. How do you use them words? What do you do to use those words? It's amazing what you can do if you use the words correctly and how you can hurt yourself if you don't. People remember those things. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Mission accomplished. They remember. No new taxes. They remember. I did not have sex with her. No new taxes. Have sex. Mission accomplished. Like your doctor. Words. Jesus. People remember those things. These things we should remember. He's being honest. The villain is what they're trying to play, portray in this budget. First of all, as we all know, it's a budget. It's not villainous. Nothing about it is villainous, right? Like, producer Phil, if you're going to the ATM tonight, who are you afraid of? Is it the budget?
No,
it's not. It's not. Mick Mulvaney is right, though. When you take from us, that's theft, right? You take from us, you promise us something, and you don't do what you're supposed to do with it.
One of the things that is new about it is that we actually did look at the expenditures through the eyes of the people who pay for it.
Let's listen to that and hear, see the magic words here.
One of the things that is new about it is that we actually did look at the expenditures through the eyes of the people who pay for it.
Pay for it. Taxpayers who pay for it. The government has a fiduciary responsibility, you would think, to spend the money the way it's supposed to be spent. Doesn't always do that. If you're a broker, you know exactly what that is. If you're somebody who deals in money for other people, you understand that you have a fiduciary responsibility. Somebody entrusts you with money that you must do the right thing with it. If you start to commingle funds, if you start to take that money from one area, put it into other places that you're not supposed to do, you end up breaking the law, you get perp walked. Government does that all the time. Taxpayers fund a lot of what we see in all of these giant, huge social programs, yet many times they're demonized for not doing it enough. Or they pay a lot of money, as we all have at times, and we think we're getting something, only to find out later on they're going to come to us and say we need more of it because we took that money you entrusted to us, and we decided it was better used elsewhere.
By spending taxpayer resources efficiently in order to improve or eliminate government programs that have received little oversight or are simply not delivering results.
Why is it so wrong in this day and age to want results? That's the thing that always drives me crazy. And I talked about it with several people over the last 24 hours who are upset about this budget. And I said, look, first and foremost, this budget's never getting through. It's a starting point. It's a negotiating point. And they're actually approaching it in a much different way than has been in the past, where they're coming at it from a position of, hey, you know what? Maybe the taxpayers would want us to do the right thing and start tightening our belt, a little austerity measure, so we don't have to keep going back and begging for more and or just taking it on the willy-nilly. But it doesn't really matter because, you see, in this day and age, all that matters is words. And let me tell you, Bernie's got some words.
This budget exposes all of that verbiage for what it really was. Just cheap campaign rhetoric that was meant to get votes. Nothing more than that.
Cheap campaign rhetoric. Nothing more than that. We heard it was called evil. Comic book villainess. How about this from Connecticut Democratic Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro?
It is cruel, it is inhumane, and it is heartless. A $9.2 billion cut to education. There's less money going to high poverty areas. The teachers are more likely to be novices in these places. Those underserved areas are going to be hurt. Millions of kids around this country are going to suffer. And I'm going to fight this budget, Mr. Chairman, with every fiber of my body because it is wrong.
Wrong, cruel, inhumane. I care about the kids more than these people do. But I'm also sold my soul to the unions to make sure that those same kids that I truly care about are, for all intents and purposes, at the whim of whatever the unions want. So I don't care about them that much. And oh, by the way, I'm also afraid of school choice, even though most Americans are for school choice. But you use the word cruel. You use the word inhumane. I heard the other day this budget's actually going to kill some people because it's deadly. That is the insanity of it all. It's about words. It's about phrasing. If you do it correctly, if you put it out there in the right way, oh, the things you can do with it, right? The things that you can do with it. Because all it has to do is, because you don't pay attention to what's going on inside the budget. You know what you do? You listen to those sound bites and you hear the word cruel. You hear the word unusual. You hear the word evil, you hear the word villainous, you hear it was wrong, you hear all of those things. And you think, well, it can't be very good. That's why I say do the homework for yourselves. Find out the truth of what's in these things. And remember that none of these things are anywhere close to being any kind of law or ever getting done. It's a starting point. But it's politics, and this is what politics is about. From top to bottom, this is what politics is absolutely about. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chatbensonshow.com. Seal finger. Do you know what it is? No, it's not the singer waving his finger at people going, grin. No, it's not that. The little girl who was dragged into the water because they now here's the other thing. They said they weren't feeding the seal in Vancouver right there on the pier. In fact, they said they're threatening to get lawyers if anybody says they were, but everybody else, like, they were feeding them bread and the thing, you know, reached out and grabbed her. Well, now she's being treated for something called seal finger. Yeah, I know, it's really gross. And here's the thing. Apparently, you lose your fingers, right? You can lose your finger. That sounds gross, but it's true. Seal finger is also known as sealer's finger or speg finger. It's an infection that afflicts fingers of sealers and other people who handle pinnipeds as a result of bites. And eventually, if it's not treated right, your digits, if you will, could potentially go away. So she's being treated for seal finger. And they said that they believe that maybe the seal is a bit off. Bit off his rocker. He's crazy. Yeah, that is James. It's not Goldfinger, it's Sealfinger. That's the new James Bond movie. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2425. Chat at chatbensonshow.com. You could text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. That's another one of those stories that, like, is that a good story to tell somebody at a party? How did you lose your finger? Oh, I got bit by a seal in my back, and then I contracted Sealfinger, and it fell off. Like, that's a story, right? Like, you've got a story to tell. Speaking of stories, Simply Safe Home Security is the best story when it comes to protecting your home, top to bottom, inside, outside, upside, downside. No hidden fees, no contracts, none of that stuff. You protect your home for less than $15 a month. I can sit here and tell you all of these, oh, what it's going to do. The truth is, all of us look for a better way to protect our home, right? And we're always worried about, what if somebody comes inside my house? What if somebody breaks in? What if somebody, you know what? We worry about that. But, you know, there's a lot of other things. You're more apt probably to have an issue inside the house. Say, a smoke alarm goes off. What if you're not home? Right? What if you're not home? and the smoke alarm goes off, and you don't have Simply Safe. By the time you realize it, by the time that the fire's raging and people see it outside, your home's gone, right? You've lost a lot of stuff, memories, the whole nine yards, fire damage, you're sleeping in hotels. Ugh. You don't want that. Simply Safe has round-the-clock professional security monitoring, meaning once that smoke alarm goes off, they pick it up immediately because they're watching, they're listening. They alert the right emergency people who show up immediately, take care of said fire. Problem solved right there. Simply Safe Home Security. Again, no hidden fees, no contract. It's amazing. Got a cool little camera, too. It is so much more than just, it's an alarm. It's not. This is a home security system for both inside and outside the home. It's incredible. Get 24/7 connection to dispatch and lightning fast response times in emergencies with Simply Safe Home Security. Order today and you get my special 10% discount. Go now to simplysafe.com/Benson. That's simplysafe.com/Benson for 10% off your home security system. Simplysafe.com/Benson. Matt Spaulding's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about the I word, impeachment. He's going to break it down for us. He's going to keep it simple, stupid. He's the dean out there at D.C. at Hillsdale College. So he's got the know. He's got the understanding. He's going to make us really understand it a lot more simplistic than what you hear on all these other talking head shows. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. What's next? Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
You know, NATO. There's member states in NATO, and some of those member states are feeling the pressure. There's 28 NATO member states. They're feeling the pressure, and they're feeling the fight with ISIS in more ways than several of the other members. NATO's whole pack is essentially the North American, this is the North Atlantic Council, right? So you got the treaty organization, right? North Atlantic Treaty Organization. They're all together. They're all pals. They're all friends. It's like saying, look, if somebody attacks you, they're attacking all of us. Let's just break it down like that, okay? We got you back. But that's for countries, right? ISIS isn't a country. ISIL, Daesh, whatever you call them, they're not. But they're now formally going to announce that they are going to start taking on ISIS. What's next for the fight? It's going to be very interesting to see how NATO does this. It's going to be very interesting to see how NATO goes about fighting, again, an enemy of which they're hard to pin down. One day they're against you. The next day they're fighting for you against them. It's a tough thing to do, but it's something that I think needs to be done. It wasn't just Trump saying you got to pay your fair, you know, your freight and your fair share, and you've also got to start, you know, fighting ISIS. Several other member nations came out and said, look, here's the deal. You know what? We got to be a coalition. We're going to be, you know, we're all for one, one for all. It's the Musketeers. There's 28 of us. Some of us aren't very good, but, you know, it's all good. We're all a team here. So, and again, pressure came from Trump. Absolutely. Absolutely pressure came from Trump. But not all of it came from him. A lot of other people are feeling the same way. They want some supporting roles. They want them to take a bigger stance. Now, what will that do with ISIS? Nothing much. But I think what it does is it brings in yet another group that ISIS is going to have to deal with. And that is something big. And it also, dare I say, in the future, may slow down the tip of the spear movement of ISIS through areas that were not being affected by ISIS, but may be affected in the future, may see some spreading or the trying to spread of this evil organization and their crazy religious ideology that's twisted into some sort of, you know, criminal handbook of lunacy. You may see that stop a lot quicker. So that's what's next for both NATO and ISIS and who they're going to be squaring off with. Once again, falling all kinds of things here, but Trump, his travel ban, as CNN and everybody else has called it, has been blocked, stopped, crushed by the same court that crushed the one before, the Ninth Circuit, which, you know, I mean, it did, you know, it's going to have to go to the Supreme Court, and it's not a travel ban. It's a moratorium. It's not, it's never, it was never meant to be forever. To me, a ban is forever. Oh, this one was in the Fourth Circuit. So, again, none of these things are meant to be forever. And that's what they don't tell you. You can look through all of this, right? And I've looked through six or seven different articles today. None of them have ever talked about the fact that it's a temporary hold on refugees coming here from these six countries. That's it. Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. And people are like, well, what about Saudi Arabia? What about our friends and allies? That this is what the president has asked for. I'm a person that, you know what? You're going to get the truth with me. And I found this not to be an evil thing, but a thing of somebody saying, "In we want to do it our way. We want to look at how things are done." But it's been, you know, it's been upheld, an 10-4 ruling. And now, like everything else, it's been appealed to the Supreme Court. So there's going to be two rulings there. And I think they're both going to, I think he's going to win them. He's got every constitutional right to do this. What they're holding against him is his words, but the Constitution gives him the power to do this. And it's going to be, I think, overturned up there, and he'll get his travel moratorium. And then a year from now, after we've gone through all that stuff and they've put the quote-unquote moratorium, you know, at the pause, and then they've unpaused it, we'll be fine. Nothing wrong with it. Matt Spaulding, Dean Hillsdale, D.C. campus. He's going to join us next. We're going to talk about the I word. Schmint. Ooh. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's the I word. What is it? Impeachment. How does it work? Nobody. Maybe. How do we impeach? What do we have to do again? Joining us now to clear it up, to keep it simple, stupid for all of us out there, is the dean of the D.C. College, Hillsdale College. Their campus there, Matt Spaulding. Matt, thanks so much for joining us today.
And great to be with you.
Okay, so let's just for, you know, for the layman's term, for the snapshot of it all, this insanity of impeachment, how would this even go about working?
It's kind of a crazy idea. Look, what's going on is this is politics, and people are trying to hide it under political, legalistic, constitutional stuff. We know, remember how this works, right? So if the House of Representatives can impeach a president, and then it goes to the Senate, and there's a trial, and if they're convicted there, they get kicked out of office. And so there are now places around town, some members of Congress, but also some, like, Brookline, Massachusetts, and San Francisco, who are calling on Congress to try to impeach the president, all 130 days into his presidency.
And what are they calling? See, this is my thing. It's like, okay, nobody can find anything that he has done in not liking somebody. Even Nancy Pelosi say not liking his hair or his political views is not a reason to impeach somebody.
Right.
But
right.
These people are coming hard.
They're trying to find all sorts of things. I mean, ultimately, they want to point towards all this stuff going on with firing Comey and whatnot. But there's no facts out on that. So there's one group that's trying to impeach him over the emoluments clause. Now, do you remember that one? Talk about an obscure constitutional requirement. The emoluments clause says that a foreign head of state can't bribe one of our officials. This goes back to the days when Ben Franklin was given a snuff box by the King of France with diamonds on it. We thought that was kind of, you know, not right. But so since the president has investments in foreign countries and receives money from foreign property, this is supposed to be a violation of that clause, and we can impeach him. This is just reaching at the very least. This is crazy stuff.
Talking to Matt Spaulding from Hillsdale College. Matt, you talk about it being crazy stuff, but okay, so let's step back a little. There was an impeachment opportunity when it came to obviously Bubba himself in there, you know, in the White House doing the things he was doing. The difference between that and this is he lied, where there's really nothing here with Trump.
That's right. I mean, look, the claim with Clinton, it was an obstruction of justice. You remember, he lied in an investigation. Now, there are things being looked into here. If there was an obstruction of justice, that should be investigated. But gee whiz, there's not only is no fire, there's no smoke yet. I mean, basically, there's a bunch of people out there, they call themselves the resistance, and they've never accepted the legitimacy of this election, and they don't want to, and they're finding every avenue they possibly can to question this presidency, and they're latching on now impeachment, I think, with really no facts behind them, because this is Alinsky. This is continuing politics all the time, politics all the time.
It is politics all the time, but that's what D.C. is anymore. It's not even about getting anything done. It's about going there and giving your sound bites and ramping up your base, raising money, and continuing to do.
Rather than trying to get government out of the way so we can govern ourselves and live our own lives and get by in the day-to-day world. I mean, it's all everything is so centralized here inside the Beltway. And this is really typical of that, but it has no sense, no reaction about normal politics that's going on out in the country.
You know, Matt, it's funny because you hear the I word, the impeachment, obstruction of justice, and then people started getting really overly excited last night because they found out, well, Trump is now going out and he's securing his own counsel outside of the White House counsel. So this is starting to get serious. So there must be some there.
Right, right. But of course, you know, if you're being pummeled by all of your critics on all sides, yeah, he should have a legal counsel. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Every president has had outside legal counsel. There really is, you know, there's a false narrative here being created that, you know, I think they would like to see play out a certain way. And let the system figure these things out. Congress is looking into some things about Flynn. There's a special prosecutor, which might turn out to be a fine thing if that clears all that up. But, you know, the impeachment is something that's there for extreme situations in which there's actual evidence and facts at hand.
You know, you talk about the extreme situations. Flynn, everybody's looking at Flynn. And obviously, there was some handling of Flynn was wrong. They screwed that up. Yeah, they had a really good, chance to go in there clean, look at everybody. They didn't seem to do their due diligence. But, you know, blaming somebody way down the line and trying to get Trump involved in all of this, that's insane, Matt.
That's politics. I mean, this shows you that all of this is not the legal system working. These are not our laws at work. This is not the American constitutional system to blame. These are people trying to manipulate as best they can, quickly, deeply, however possible, because they want to constantly fight politics, and if they can catch him on something, or even imply something, or even just put the smell out there, that's all they're trying to do. Because they're looking ahead to the 2018 elections, they're already in election mode.
Talking to Matt Spaulding, he is the dean of the of Hillsdale College out there in D.C. You know, you talk about the Beltway, Matt, and you know you're out there in the Beltway. It is a bubble. The rest of the world, and especially the rest of America. We get our news in several different ways, but it's so funny because they seem to be so hyper focused on this as if this is a huge deal in their lives, when in truth the average American is getting on with their life, again, just trying to survive day by day.
No, that's right, and they're constantly on the defensive and responding to the latest, you know, media thing that's happening just across town. Washington is increasingly isolated from the rest of the country. It's really a bunch of elites who have a different sense of how politics works. And, you know, the reason why we want to talk about the Constitution, and at Hillsdale we teach about the Constitution, is that figuring out how to limit the influence of Washington, D.C. is the way that the rest of the country can run its lives and self-govern and take care of themselves. Politics is not supposed to be the centerpiece of our lives. It never was.
Talking to Matt Spaulding, the dean of the D.C. campus out there at Hillsdale College in D.C. And, you know, you talk about the Constitution, right? So we talk about all this stuff and the things we can and can't do. And, oh, the 45th, can we show that he's unfit to be president? All these kind of crazy things. Yeah, there's a bigger story going on out there. And I touched on it earlier, and you and I touched on it briefly before we came on, is the fact that it's coming out that the Obama administration, 2011, goes to FISA and says, look, we know we've done all this stuff. It's not right. We're going to stop doing that. They never stop doing that. And yet nobody really seems to care. Is it because nowadays, Matt, is it because people still understand the Constitution or understand what it gives us and our freedoms and our guarantees?
Well, so I think what has happened over this amount of time, you've talked about D.C. becoming isolated from the rest of the country. And yet there's a lot of political power back here. And it's kind of subsumed all these things and centralized all this authority. It's extremely tempting. The modern president is very powerful. And we spend, they, on the one hand, they seem to be fighting over very narrow, small things that most of us don't care about. But, gee whiz, the kinds of authority they have to do things, like through these FISA courts, or just think of the bureaucratic apparatus, the administrative state that's everywhere in our lives. For those of us who are out in the country who want to just, you know, live our lives and self-govern, gosh, you know, we might not be interested in the federal government. The federal government's sure interested in us. They're just growing and expanding, and it gives a lot of power to someone who's a chief executive.
You know what? You talk about the people that are outside the big cities. I mean, the truth is we have two different Americas. We have a more rural America with some suburbs and some farms and a rural area and maybe a much bigger landmass. And then you have a concentrated big city America, and it is two Americas in a lot of way. And one of them is running at more government central control, and the other one wants to live their life without any government interference.
That's right, and there is this increasingly divide, and I think that's what recent elections have been about. And as elections go forward, we're going to make that decision. Do we intend to be a self-governing republic of some semblance to what it was, in which we run our own lives? Or is it going to be increasingly centralized and bureaucratic, which I think is what one of those options is. And I think that's exactly what's being fought over right now and why this president, despite his own what you may or may not like about him personally or this or that, what he's doing by very nature of his actions is he's challenging that way of governing, because that's kind of the inside-the-belt way, crony way of thinking. And he challenges that, so they've got to take him down however they possibly can, which is why they in turn have jumped to this impeachment question.
Last question, I'll let you. I appreciate you coming on today, talking to Matt Spaulding. He's the dean of the D.C. Dean of the D.C. campus, the Hillsdale out there. You know, Matt, how close and how realistic is it that they're going to get a shot at him? We have the Republicans are in charge. What's the chances of them getting any kind of dream for the Democrats, an opportunity to impeach him? Because I have always said, I think if you ask the Republicans, the conservatives and Republicans, hey, off the records, never going to leave this room, do you want Pence or do you want Trump? I think to a person, they would say, my brother, Pence, but we got Trump.
Right. Yeah, and they're not going to do anything. Look, this goes into the 2018 elections. If the House flips in 2018, which is not outside the realm of the possible, because those numbers are actually closer than you think. If the House becomes Democratic in 2018, he's got a hostile House of Representatives, and they continue going down this path, which is, say, the progressive crazies are continuing to push this argument, you'll see this crop up. Whether it's serious and can go forward, that's another question, but it will become a theme.
Yeah, it's crazy. Matt Spaulding's name, Hillsdale College. He's the dean out there in D.C. We appreciate you taking time today. Always love having you on the show, my man.
Great, thanks. Talk to you later.
I'll tell you what, it is, again, we do have two Americas, and I just don't think people understand that. You know, here California, here we are, right? We have what? We have the coastal elites, the liberals, the Democrats, and then the inner part, right? The more rural areas. You've got the conservatives, and it's crazy the way that we are. But you know what? This impeachment thing, it's not going to go away. I don't think the Democrats want to get rid of him because I think they think he can't govern and he can't rule and he'll be more headache for the Republicans. And they don't want somebody like Pence in there who will be less headache and have the opportunity to be more D.C. versed and get himself into a situation where he becomes successful. But I don't think the Maxine Waters of the world and all these people, they're not going to let this thing go. They're not. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. All right, so here's the thing. Yesterday we talked about those two girls, the burrito girls, remember that? Those girls, they closed up, and I mentioned Iron Eyes Cody. Man, we got a story about Iron Eyes Cody. Wow, a story, kids. And, you know, back in the day, if you wanted to send your kids somewhere, you just did this. Chad Benson.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say what? By the way, I'm very excited. I'm getting ready to watch the hockey game, at least what I can see with my sweet eyes. What are we looking at here? Got the Game 7. There's nothing better in sports than ice hockey's Game 7 in the Stanley Cup, and you got two teams battling it tonight, Pittsburgh and Ottawa, to see who gets to play Nashville. Isn't it amazing? Think about this 20-plus years ago, 25-plus years ago. I don't want to bore you guys with sports, but to show you what one individual can do influential-wise in sports, Wayne Gretzky came along 25, 30 years ago, whatever it was, and exploded onto the hockey scene. And within years, this massive explosion has happened where you have teams in Carolina, in Anaheim, in San Jose, in Florida, in Nashville, and they're playing in the Stanley Cup. It is crazy. But there is nothing better in sports than a Game 7 of a Stanley Cup final. There's just nothing better. It is absolutely amazing. If you've never seen it, even if you don't watch sports, just watch it for the intensity of it all. It's insane. Say what? Phil, I don't think we need this, but scientists have now found a cure for baldness. Discover an immune cells that trigger hair growth, paving the way for a cream treatment. No more plugs out there, fellas. Scientists in California found a certain immune cell-stimulated hair growth. They already knew that it was faulty. The TREGs, as the cell is known, can cause allergies to peanuts or serious immune diseases. But now, scientists can see that these cells are key to sustaining hair growth, and they believe that they can target the TREGs, which will eventually cure baldness. Wah, 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 wah. Producer Anthony, you got a shaved dome. I like it, though. It looks cool on you. Would you want a long, flowing locks of hair? That's a no. Anthony likes it, man. I shave my head once or twice a year because living out here in the desert, it's 4,000 degrees right now. It is literally this past, 3-4 days, we've been at 110, 111. Today, it's weird to think that you go outside and it's 95 and you're like, what's kind of cool today? But that's the way it is. But I've shaved my head all the time because it always felt cooler. Maybe it didn't, but you've got to have the right head for a dome like that. You can't just be, some people, they don't look good. Anthony looks good. Anthony's got that dome. I don't know if I've been bald a few times, but my head's so white and I get so sunburned, I don't think I go completely bald. But man, I tell you what, now they found a cure for it. Now, what do you do if you're a doctor and you've been doing the plugs for years and now somebody's got a cream? Oh, lordy, lordy. Talk about out o' business. Guys, yesterday we talked about cultural appropriation. Say what? Two ladies in this beautiful, amazing place called Portland, Oregon, they started a little pop-up burrito shop called Kook's Burritos. Went down to Mexico, and on their little vacation there, they picked the brains, if you will, of the abuelitas, the older ladies, the grandmothers of a lot of people who make these beautiful, wonderful tortillas from scratch. And they wanted to find out, hey, how can we do it? And the ladies told them some stuff, but didn't give them all recipes. But, hey, lo and behold, they come back, they start it up, and they get accused of cultural appropriation, of stealing the identity and culture of these women for evil profits. Oh, it's bad. Then I brought up Iron Eyes Cody. That's how much I weep for this country, I said, because you see, as I weep for this country and the tear falls down, much like it did from Iron Eyes Cody in that Cleaning Up America commercial back in the 70s and 80s. It crushed me. Just a little teardrop from the Indian Iron Eyes Cody, except for he's not Indian. He culturally appropriated my childhood. He's actually 100% Sicilian. Somebody sent me a tweet late last night. And yeah, sure enough, he is 100% a Sicilian. Yeah, paisano, he is. So he culturally appropriated a memory of mine. And for that, sir, I am not thrilled. In fact, I am, dare I say, disappointed. But understand something. Back in the day, in the acting days, they pretty much anybody who looked Indian was Indian. They had no choice. And if they couldn't make you that way in black and white, they'd throw a little something on you to make you even look more Indian and make you talk silly. You fooled me there. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBenson. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program always, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.